Hey, welcome, my friend, back to the show. This is your host, Daryl Evans. Listen, my guest today, man, let me tell you, we laugh, we have fun. And I remember meeting him about 3 or 4 months ago before recording this show at a podcast conference here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we were in a group, we were talking, hanging out, and I just listened to his energy and his vibe and his enthusiasm. And I was like, I've got to talk to this guy and get him on my podcast. We exchanged numbers, we exchanged emails. And today I'm happy to sit down and share with you the backstory of Santiago, Santi Maxwell. He's an entrepreneur and podcast host out of the Washington, D.C. metro area. If you're from the area, he calls it the DMV. You'll know all about it. And he is the co-founder of All Gas, No Brakes podcast. And this podcast focuses on entrepreneurs, creators, and businesses in the metro D.C. area. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship. We're going to talk about podcasting. We're going to talk about how it got started, which is absolutely hilarious, and what it's taken to get it to a place where he's now being nominated for awards. There's a lot in this conversation today. He's a cool cat, and you're going to want to listen to his show. I want you to get into ours right now. We'll see you soon. This is the Mindshift Podcast, where we share real stories, real strategies that will help you find real success. This is the place to hear from people just like you who have taken their ideas, goals, and dreams from a point of inspiration to realization, or when life knocked them down, from a point of breakdown to breakthrough. I'm your host, Daryl Evans. Let's get started with today's episode. Santiago, my man, what's good? What's good? It's been a few months. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Everything's fantastic.
Excited, man. Absolutely. Where are you joining us from?
Washington, D.C. metro area. I myself live in Maryland, but I say D.C. because it's easier to just tell you D.C. Because I'm like, I can run to D.C. in like 11 minutes from my house. So.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Yeah. So we had a chance to connect at the podcast conference here in Vegas. You flew all the way across the country. And we ended up conversating at one of the breakout sessions or in the hallway and, you know, through gathering and networking. And I was like, man, let me get another podcaster who's popping off on the East Coast over here on the show. So listen, tell everybody who you are, what you do. Tell them about your show and the journey that you've been on as a podcaster.
All righty. Well, thank you. My name is Santiago. Super Saiyan Santi is what they call me. Santiago is the name. I have a podcast called All Gas, No Brakes Podcast. I like to say highlight entrepreneurs, content creators, and businesses in my local market, Washington, D.C. metro area. The DMV, for those that know, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And Baltimore considers themselves separate, but, you know, I'm pulling them in. I'm pulling Baltimore in. They tell me, Santi, that's not the DMV. But I love Baltimore, too, and it's in Maryland, yeah. So I'm stretching my arm out. And the journey, man, you asked a great question early when we were just talking a moment ago. This idea started with a bunch of my buddies and I around a poker table. And I actually have pictures and everything of the idea when we did the first meeting. And gotcha. A poker table where we played no poker, believe it or not. We just actually talked about recording ourselves, talk about what's going on in the world today. And that was about 5 years ago. So, and then the gentleman that pulled me into it, because I didn't know about podcasting. I never listened to a podcast and didn't know that what that was, anything at all. But once I started doing it, I fell in love right away. I was able to use my education as well. I have an education from Full Sail University in audio engineering / show production. So I got, and then my partner, which is one of my best friends in the world, he has a degree from Full Sail, and my wife also does, believe it or not, as well. So we all had all these degrees and this idea of, you know, putting together a massive studio and showing what we can do, and podcasting allowed us to do it. And we've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. What's interesting, we talked a little bit offline, is now your show has been, you were nominated for some pretty big awards. Tell everybody about that. I mean, that's congratulations.
Thank you. I was just nominated by the Quill Podcast Awards for Podcast of the Year. We didn't win. However, we were nominated. And as I told you earlier, I didn't know about this space until about a year ago. But when I did learn of it and learned that it had accolades that you can gain, I said, I want one. You know what I mean? I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I'm doing it, I might as well see if I can get one. So I put my hat, my name in the hat, and They called my name for a little bit, and I was like, great. So I know we have something here. And I tell my co-host and my partner, I'm like, it's bigger than us right now, because I didn't know what this was. This is almost like I'm meant to be doing this right now. So.
Come on. So what were you doing, and maybe you're still doing some, but what were you doing 5 years ago before this poker table conversation happened, before it all got started?
I'm gonna tell you, man, because you're a cool guy. I was a musician. I was making music. I was rapping, singing, writing music. At first, actually, I was attempting to assist young artists gain notoriety and popularity, maybe even getting signed to major labels. That was what I was doing. I was trying to put together an act, a few acts actually, that I had underneath me. But then that fell apart. People started getting other people pregnant, and that always slows things down.
Damn it. Hey, as Deion Sanders would say recently, don't let 5 seconds to 30 seconds of pleasure just you. Do you see that?
Yeah. No, but he's so right.
But I know.
And I watched it firsthand. So they quit on me. And then I said, I know all of this. I know how to do all. I mean, I literally created a recording studio from scratch before going to Full Sail, before even getting my degree in it. Had it in my apartment in the living room. Had producers created, you know, and I had some songs and everything. Did a whole video just to show that I can do it, and then try to gain some notoriety from it. Did okay. I could have probably done more, but that wasn't like, I wasn't in it. Still wasn't what I wanted to do. And then, because I always wanted to help someone else. That's what I've always wanted to do.
So now, it's funny, it brought up in my mind, do you feel like you're in more control now when you run your own show versus trying to be the producer of other artists?
That's a great question.
Because here's what I heard, and here's what, like, I met you, when we met, I got the energy of abundance and giving is what I got. You and I met, I don't know how long we would have been talking through those couple of days. It wasn't that long. But I knew we vibed at a moment, and I was like, hey, your show, my show, this, that, and the other. But I got a sense of an energy of giving and abundance. And so it's not surprising to me that you were trying to help other artists do their thing. But now you're the artist.
Now, though.
You're the artist with your own show.
Yeah. It's crazy. I still feel like I'm not, because I actually have a co-host on my show, which is, shout out to my girl, Quana Diva Varlins. I love her. I've known her since I was 11 years old. And she has her story herself. You know, she was pregnant by 12, mom, grandma now. But she is the most funniest person you'll ever meet on earth. She helps me on posting as well. So she's hilarious. Yeah. You'll love to meet her. And my goal is to put her on. Like, that's another one of my goals. I'm like, you have to be on. And then my other co-host is my buddy named OG_Frank. He's one of my old school buddies. You know, I'm not going to put his age out there, but he's an older gentleman. And he's just a bunch of wisdom, but jokes, a lot of funny old jokes, the way he just presents them. And I want him to do some stand-up. I'm like, buddy, you got to do stand-up. Like, this is crazy. So
yeah.
I'm helping. I'm still like, feel like I'm in the background pushing them forward.
I see. How did you come up with the name? All Gas, No Breaks. Where does the name come from?
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't come up with the name. As I stated, I was called into a group, and a few gentlemen had the name before me. Well, my partner was part of the original founders. I don't want to say founders, but of the idea of the name. He was a part of that group, and they quit on me.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, they quit on me. The guys that started it quit on me. And as I stated to you, I was still feeling like, yo, this is a calling. I'm good at, I know this. I can do this. I'm good at this. And I feel like it's bigger than me. So I said, let me keep everything, because you guys don't want it. Well, let me keep it. You know, I'm going to keep pushing. And that's what happened. I kept everything and I kept pushing, and here we are.
Wow. And you started the show. Is it 4 or 5 years ago?
About 5 years ago.
5 years ago. How many shows a year do you produce, you guys release?
So I don't, to be honest, I can't even tell you that number. I don't know.
Are you weekly show, twice a month?
When I feel kind of like doing it, to be honest.
When you feel it. Okay.
It's a feeling thing. So it's a feeling thing. I try to give one out every other week. That's my goal. That doesn't happen
because
it's all from us. So we say, you know, tune in and be on the ride of the All Gas No Brake ride, and you'll see it. You know, it'll come, but we'll keep
you entertained in between.
And it's been working for me.
That's awesome. So I love that too, because you're not caught up in the hype of production requirements. Like, you got to deliver this, that, and the other thing. Really, it's about community, right? You're building community around the topic. Yeah. How did you, and I think it was a brilliant thought, how did you decide to stay local with highlighting content creators, business owners, entrepreneurs? What was the decision to do that?
You know, at first the show was us just talking a bunch of junk around the table. And then when everybody quit, we had to change up the show. What are we talking about? Are we doing that same thing? And at the time I was like, no, I would love to get a female co-host on here that's funny. And I knew Quanah. It's a funny story about that. She was in Jacksonville, Florida at the time. And I'm like, I called her and I'm like, dude, are you coming back up here ever? If you are, I would love to have you as a co-host on my show. She said, Santi, if I ever do, I'll contact you. When she did, when I saw her move in into her place, I think on social media, I called her. I'm like, I know you're here.
you can't get away.
No, you can't. And she joined. And we then, at that point, I knew I love entrepreneurship. I love these type of conversations with entrepreneurs. But no one really helps the youth in our local area that has the entrepreneurial spirit have a platform to educate them on how to speak in front of a camera within a studio when the lights are on them and everything. And that was the goal, help the youth to do that, because I always want to help the youth because that's who's up next. And, you know, I'm making a way for my children. It's also a way for me to connect and be able to speak to them as well, because I do speak with the youth as well. So be able to connect with them. And that's how that happened. And really focusing on my area, because I love the DMV. I mean, I'm from New York, Brooklyn. That was where I was raised. I am Panamanian, but I was raised in Brooklyn, New York. And when I moved here, I tell everyone it did save my life. Like, it was a saving life move, because I was in Brooklyn. You was in the heart of Brooklyn. I wasn't a bad kid, but I can see where it could easily deviate. And my mother saw that as well. And when she brought me here, I tell people all the time, I'm like, I just geeked out. I said, okay, this is what you want me to do. I'm going to geek out. I'm going to try new things, and I'm going to do what you did for us. And I love that I did that. I've been enjoying myself ever since.
Wow. I love the sense of almost even you knew that there was a tipping point that could have been, you know, we all get to a point. Were you in your teens, or were you younger than your teens, or were you?
Me, I was early teens. I was like 10, 11.
Early teens.
I tell people when I have teenage kids or younger kids, I'm like, dude, they know. I remember. I knew that. I'm a movie buff guy, but if you've seen a movie called City of Gods?
No, I haven't
seen
it.
Check it out.
No.
It's a movie about Brazil favelas and the youth coming out of there, the ghettos, and how they, you know, they're like grown men, but they're like 6, 7 years old. And I felt like that. I was like, dude, it saved me. And when I got to be a kid, it was dope.
That's good. That's a very interesting perspective, because that wasn't exactly my situation. But I grew up in a culture that was, I call it the triad when I look back. There were three different gangs, one to the north, one to the south, one to the west. And I had friends in all areas. And my fear of my dad kept me from going that way, because I think he'd have killed me before any one of them got me. So let's be,
I had a mother like 100. That. I had a mother like that.
Yeah.
So I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was in a dance group with some of my boys, and we had the name of the group was called a casual crew. But we wore these coasters, which is what one of them wore. So his assimilation was we must be a gang. We not just, we're masking as a dance group, but I'm like, we're a dance group. He couldn't get by, but he was so, you better not, I'm gonna come get you. So anyway, that's very interesting. How did your audio engineering background play in and assist, or, you know, I don't know which came first, but how did that audio background, that audio engineering background assist you in this podcast journey? Because it seems like it's super aligned.
You know, it did. I would say before all this, when I was a young man, I was that kid that would take a piece of equipment apart and put it back together. I was always that guy. I could take technology and I just kind of click. I just get it. And then with getting that degree, it just made me feel confident that I could do anything. In my real life, I'm in telecommunications. I understand connections to internet waves, and then that degree taught me how it all connects from the diodes to I can create it from scratch if I wanted to. I'm not going to, but I can. And then with my partner, which my partner is a genius. He's a complete, like, this guy could build anything. He rebuilds old analog boards. Like, he built one on his own, everything. He's one of those guys. So it helped out a lot being that confident and having him being my partner because we look at a space and we can design anything. We can create anything in any space, no matter where it is. It could be a small room. It could be a basement. It could be the side of a – that's why I got a green screen because I do virtual interviews. And I turn my green screen into something and just keep it moving.
I love it. I love it. So you got that creativity, that vision for turning the blank canvas into something.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
How do you choose your entrepreneurs or content creators, businesses in your area to interview? Are you looking for specific stories? Are you looking for specific genres? Are you looking for specific experiences? How do you choose?
Great question. I don't choose it that way at all. I want to hear everybody's story. I want to hear everyone's story. Especially ours. However, it doesn't matter because I've had from people from Israel, from Afghanistan, from El Salvador, from Guatemala, African, from Nigeria to Ghana. I've had a company from Nigeria that makes samosas. They're a local samosa shop in the area. And ever since they've been on the show, they're like, you know, we had people start coming to the show, to the store. And I mean, they're in the middle of Maryland, like Bowie. If you know Maryland, Bowie's like in the country. And everybody from the cities was going in. And I got to see, like, okay, so people are watching us and they're listening to the businesses that we're connecting them with. But I'll speak to anyone, even to the fact I'm going to have a finance company coming in next week. Northwest Mutual Financial booked us, and they're going to be on the show as well. You're going to see that in a few weeks. And then from rappers. Which is crazy. I can have from samosa companies to Northwest Mutual to I have like the most gulliest rapper on the show last weekend, you know. And we're all having a good
time. That's hilarious. I think that's the energy, right? You put the energy out there that says all are welcome, and then you just carry the vibe in the conversation. I think that's, you know, I've learned something over the last 4 years of running this podcast. I want to ask you this question as a podcaster who's got 5 years on the scene. And that is, what is the most, I think I might know, but what is the most enjoyable thing about hosting your own podcast with the diversity of guests from topic, you know, of all these topics and being in that DMV area? What's the most enjoyable part for you?
Man, that's a great question because it changes for me every week. I think I didn't like it. I didn't know about that. And then when I learned that that's happened, I love it. You know what I mean? So just, I guess, the new surprises that come with it. But then if I could talk about the people that come on the show and then enjoy the time they had with us and they vibe with us, I feel like they're just like hanging with me. You know what I mean? And if you come to the studio, if you're ever in DC, come to the studio, you'll see what I'm talking about. You are most definitely invited. Okay. I'd love to have you on the show.
Okay.
Because we record in the country in a basement, and it's a vibe. You know what I mean? And then when you walk into the studio and you see the house and you go into the basement, you're like, what am I about to get into? And then my partner has a spaceship down there. Like, it's a spaceship, and you're going to have a blast.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
That's hilarious.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, it speaks volumes to the energy, right? I mean, the creativity that you talked about that the both of you have to turn a blank canvas into an experience. I can imagine. I mean, I know when you're just off the line here. I was talking about your Facebook page and how I saw it when we first connected, and I popped back on. And like, if it's any indication of what the show is like, if you're listening to the show right now, you just got to go check out All Gas, No Breaks. Do I say it right? I sometimes mix up.
No, you got All Gas, No Breaks.
All Gas, No Breaks. All Gas, No Breaks. And so what's really interesting is I love how they curate comedy. We were talking offline. Tell them about comedy because I think it fits in perfect. And I was busted up laughing when you were sitting in the green room getting ready to come on the show today. But where does comedy fit into this whole concept?
So one, I should do stand up too. My buddies always tell me, why you keep pushing me and you're not doing it. I am one day I'm going to stand on that stage and do it. I feel it coming. It's like right there. And I'm like, damn, why are you going to do something else? Why are you doing something else? Because doing something
but
else.
But you can't hide the gift.
But the reason why.
You can't. Yeah.
I don't want to do something else because I know I'm going to go all in. And I don't need something else to go all in on. Right now I have my two boys and I'm just having a blast going all in, helping them guys do their thing. But I love comedy because as entrepreneurs, it's tough. It's hard. And entrepreneurs, and this can be real, of color, it's even a little bit harder and a little bit tougher. And I'm not going to keep it 100%.
It is what it is.
But I don't back down from the hard and the tough. My wife goes all the time, dude, maybe it's not too hard right now. You may be thinking it's too hard and you could just calm down and just slide through it now right here. You got a point where it's smooth. Mm-hmm. But I'm so used to that I started just laughing things off. And I love comedy. And that's how I get through the day, by just cracking up, laughing. And when I see outrageous posts, I mean, the phone now, I'm like, I understand people could get sad. But if you could get to your phone and just find something that makes you laugh or motivate you real quick, but you got to know how to put it down and keep going. And I've learned to put it down. I've learned to look at it. I feel like I'm just tapped into the energy of what's going on comically. I feel it. So I put out what makes me laugh. And then I have my guys and my gal put their stuff out. It makes them laugh. And it makes other people laugh. And another thing, it was a way to keep you involved with us during the lapses.
Yes.
You know what I mean? How do you keep involved with us? You're taking out the page. And then
no one can be offended when there's comedy showing up in their newsfeed. Right? That's the one thing that struck me. That's the one thing I was like, I thought it was interesting. And I was like, interesting that he runs a business show in the DC metro area. And in between show drops, it's all, not all comedy, but a good dose of comedy.
Yeah.
And then I just tapped back in before we got connected today for this show. And I was three posts down. I had to cut it out because I was just rolling. Right.
I planned that. I've gotten to the point where I can make that happen. And then you'll see some of our stuff. And then you're like, okay, I'm gonna watch this guy's show.
That's right. Cause where does it come from? Like the same group that's pushing this Cole podcast has been nominated for Podcast of the Year. And I think you're comfortable with all aspects of the human experience, right? The business show is the business show. Yeah. It is the business show. But I'm a human and I love this thing called comedy. And it's actually one of those things where you and I were chit-chatting about, and I've believed in this for a long time, is comedy is almost like food, right? Like, I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you look like, what your economics, all of it seems to not matter when we're sharing a good meal and if we're laughing. It just seems like none of it matters.
You said all my favorite things.
I'm going to eat as soon as we get off the show.
Love to cook, love to laugh.
That's right. So anyway, I want to ask you about your vision for where you're heading. And again, vision is, you know, I know podcasting, the industry's taking a turn, the industry's changing. We met at one of the podcast movement conferences. There's another one coming up in August. I won't be at the one in August, but the space is changing. I think the last time I looked at the numbers, there'd been a drop off in the number of new shows that have been coming out. But what is your future? What do you see for this project? And if it all played out as you see it today?
Well, you know, number one, God is good. I believe in a higher power, a spiritual being, something, a positive energy, whatever you want to believe in. There's something there that's tapped into me and tapped into us. I'm not seeing those issues. I'm actually increasing my viewership, my listenership. Money is now coming in slowly, but surely. I knew it was because I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I love business and I love sales. So I gauge it, not because I'm money focused, but I gauge the success on, are people going to pay for it? I got kids to feed. Mm-hmm. I have children to feed. And the fact 100%. That that's happening, and we're actually looking into studio space. So I try not to watch those numbers that they're going through because I feel like 100%. That's what they're going through. I'm not going through that.
Yeah.
I feel like if someone is willing to take a chance and hire a brother and make him a C member or V member of one of their podcasting organizations or shows or channels, I can help it out. I feel like I think I have a good pulse on it. Or I can at least move the needle in a different direction to make you see something else. But for me, yeah, I'm okay. I love what I'm doing, and I feel like the future looks real bright.
I love what you said about not paying attention to those other numbers. I really, because I think all of us, we are running our own race. You know, I started this show as a hobby project, never had monetization in my mind, not at all. And finally, I realized that's, and it was just one of those perspectives that at some point you're like, hey, you are putting time into this, and time is valuable.
Right.
And at some point, someone asked me, what do you want to do? Because you realize you have a media property. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to monetize it? And I pushed that conversation off for a while because I have revenue streams, other places, you know, different things. So it wasn't a priority, but to the point of it, the process of looking at the show growing and how it's going to grow and all the peaks and valleys. But to your point, it is our own race. Every show is its own race. Every show has its own identity and attracts its own audience. So, and that's the beauty of this space, right? Because we just jumped back a decade, two decades ago. Mm-hmm. You got to go get permission to do this somehow, some way, because the technology's not there. The access isn't there. The distribution isn't there.
It was so expensive.
It was expensive as all got out. I mean, just think about a video podcast. Mm. I mean, if I go back to 2007, when I first started, we were downloading video on a FireWire for crying out loud. And for those that don't know what a FireWire is, just imagine what appears perhaps to look like an Ethernet cable. Mm. That today is an Ethernet cable, but it was basically how the video got taken from a camcorder, y'all, camcorder,
yeah,
to get it to your PC, and it was slow as all
get out. Forever.
Took 6-8 hours. So I would do it at night before I went to sleep. So if I did an hour long anything, I would just let it download overnight, and it'd finally be there at 4, 5, 6 in the morning. So. We are definitely at a blessed place. And I love what you said about the energy that you feel about where God has you positioned for this journey. And I think that's really important too, because you got to make sure that this isn't forced.
Yeah.
It has to feel like flow. What I love doing about shows is really what I'm doing right now is being really genuinely curious about my guest's journey. Entrepreneurship, in this case, it's a podcast as well as entrepreneurship. I guess my other question is, I'm really curious, does the show ever go outside of the DC metro, outside of DMV? Do you ever see expanding?
Daryl, your questions are amazing, man. You're killing them.
Daryl, I'm curious, dog.
You're awesome.
I ain't seen you in four months.
So much from you, man. I'm telling you. But hey, man, like, it is. It's so crazy. Because of that, and sticking to that, I stick to that. I'm not budging from that one bit because I love my city and I love what the youth are doing, what the entrepreneurs are doing, the content creators are doing, what our businesses are doing. I love what they're doing. I'm sticking to the DMV. But what has occurred is people outside of DMV say, I have to get on all gas, no brakes if I got to crack the DMV. If I want to make it in the DMV, if I want to be seen. And that's not what I intended one bit. At all. I didn't know that was going to even happen. But somebody from Detroit, the first time it happened, someone flew in from Detroit to be on the show. Then I had a guy from Alabama, two people from Alabama, some people from Philly. And there, I had no idea who they were. You follow the rubric, you put out your email address, you say, contact us, this is what it's going to be. Okay, you think, are they going to call? Are they going to really check in? And they do. And now, to answer your question, yes, I'm getting a lot of listens out of the DMV. And
got it.
It's blowing my mind every day.
Yeah, it is amazing, right? So it's funny, and I don't know, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I don't think of my show as a very big show. I'm very happy for every single one of the listeners that listen. Yeah. Some weeks it's more than others. Some weeks I have crazy spikes. I have no idea sometimes even where it all coming from. Mm-hmm. This show is being listened to, I believe, on almost every continent.
Wow.
At some level. I didn't intend for that to be the case, right? That being said, I also found out something else that I didn't know about, which is it's almost like people want access to an audience if they believe they've got a message to share. The vast majority of people that come on my show, like yourself, and when I go on other people's show, They have no agenda other than to add to the conversation, right? They have no agenda. They're not there to try to sell anything. They're not there trying to push a thing. They're genuinely saying, I love what you're doing. I hear the conversation. I hear the tone. I just want to add to this from my perspective. And that's been a very interesting eye-opening experience for me. And the fact that it does reach beyond the audiences that you think it's going to reach.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first seven people listening to my show, four of them lived in my house.
That's nice.
Four listened to my house. The one was a guest. The one was a guest who was on the show. And I think because I posted it on Facebook, somebody else, one of my high school friends saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, to think then it just, and then I've been at a restaurant. Someone just asked me the other day, what's the most profound thing that's happened? Like the most profound thing that's happened is I was at a restaurant eating and somebody said, they were kind of whispering and pointing. And it was my wife who said, hey, Daryl, I think they're trying to talk to you about the podcast. So I walked over and the guy said, I'm a truck driver and I drive trucks all the time. And I've been listening to your show. And he pointed out one of the shows that I guess really helped him when he was challenged with something.
Yeah,
it was something that the guest was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, the influence, you just don't know. You just don't know where this thing ends up. And that's what keeps me going, doing the work.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like you said, you got now people saying, hey, to crack into the DMV, I got to come through, right? All gas, like almost like you're the gatekeeper now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
you didn't expect it to be the case. And it's probably not even true, although because you have a media platform, you know, it's just new media. It's not the news. It's not the newspaper. It's not television. This is the new media, right? This is the new media.
Yeah.
So real cool, real cool. What's one of the most unexpected things you've had happen on your show in the last 4 or 5 years, whether it was a guest, whether, you know, it got shared with a celeb, you know what I mean?
We've had a lot of, unexpected stuff. So we had some pretty big names come through the show, entertainers, and I'll be 100% with you. Sometimes I learn about them like the day before how popular they are, you know, until the kids tell me.
Until
my nephews or somebody tell me, I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, how was it? I'm like, oh, they were cool. We had a great time. Like, you talked and you did this. I'm like, yeah, it's just, to me, it's a conversation, you know what I mean? And they're regular people.
Right.
I love the fact that they unwind, because I have some independent guys, I mean, entertainers. I mean, one guy just went platinum on iTunes. He just went platinum on iTunes, independent.
Wow.
Sitting across from me a few days ago. And I mean, and the caliber of artists that he works with, and the people he knows, and the people that tuned in on the show that I grew up with, that grew up idolizing as a young man, were watching. That right there was one of the things that surprised me. Because I'll go live on the show when I'm recording in the studio. I just go live and leave it on. And they were like, such and such is on, and this person is on. And I'm like, oh, all right. Wow. And they give it thumbs up. Man.
I love it. I love it. So you just made a couple things that I heard. So you go live. I was going to ask you about community building and how do you look at it? How do you look at community building? I don't know. I'm speaking for me. Podcasting for me has been one of the most, I feel disconnected in many ways from the listening audience. It's difficult to get communication through the podcast platforms. Of course, we got to get them to jump out, go to IG, Facebook, wherever, YouTube. But how do you think about community building and then maybe that whole conversation about going live? So do you go live on what? Facebook, Instagram, when you're doing your show?
I will go live primarily on Instagram, but if I have my iPads and everything, I'll go on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook. And if there's one person, two people, I don't care. I'll leave it on the entire time. Also, you may use that content because you know how technology is. Sometimes things glitch. There was one time where our camera stopped recording, but because I was going live on the other devices, I borrowed the content from there. I put it into the show and, people were like, I loved how you did that transition. I'm like, okay, yeah, transition. That was, camera went off.
That was emergency. That was an emergency. You call it what you want to.
Yeah, exactly. And I like to call those God moments. I feel like that's when the big dog steps in and adds a little flavor to the show, you know, and I just take it and I accept it. So social media has been allowing me to keep in contact with the community. Yeah, if I show you how many notifications I have across my phone right now, sometimes into thousands. And at one point, like you said, it was one, two people, my wife, my, you know, friend, Now I go on Instagram and it stops and it just hits the plus and I gotta, okay. And I try to answer and respond and people send me stuff. And then my favorite ones are, you know, I checked out that podcast and that was good. I'm like, okay, cool. That's what it was for.
That was the one.
Yeah. I like that one.
That was the one. Yeah, man. I love it, man. I love hearing the story. These are the stories I like to tell about, right? Because everybody knows about these big name shows, right? I loved hearing you talk at the event. And then it's just these, a lot of people get disillusioned by some of the big name shows, whether they get picked up by YouTube, picked up by Spotify. And there are so many great stories of entrepreneurs who are just starting in basements with an idea around a poker table. They didn't even play poker that night. And I think the other piece to the story is, let's not forget that the ones who said they were going to be along for the journey, they got off the bus and said, I don't want to do this no more. And you decided to continue. And I don't think that gets understood enough, because entrepreneurship, starting a media property or media company, any sort of endeavor, it sounds good in the moment.
Then
the work has to get done.
I also have to say I have a degree in business. I do have a degree in business from the University of Maryland. I'm a Terp. So I went to the business school as well. So I love business. I breathe it. So entrepreneurship is like, I'm from New York. You know what I mean? Like, we all got to hustle.
Right.
And then I took, I went and I got this business degree, and my wife is from Miami, you know, so Rick Ross, every day I'm hustling. So my woman even is like, hey, you know, we got to get on this. So
get after
it's in me. I love this. I tell people all the time, retirement, yeah, I may, you know, but I'm going to still keep doing something. I got to get on a board or something. I got to still be tapped in.
Yeah, it means something different, right? It's in your DNA, right? It's in your DNA. And I think it's also about a passion, right? I listen to you talk about this. This is fun.
Yeah, I'm a good time.
Like, this ain't work for you. I mean, there are times, like every podcast episode, like I do block shows, and you know, every time I see it on the calendar, I realize I'm in for a long day. So guess what I know? But what I love about the show, one of the most rewarding things about this, is the genuine conversations and connections that go long beyond the show. Because a lot of times it's just the meeting or the information that exchanged to get to the day of the show. And then once we've done something, we've produced something, we now have a work that will span the internet as long as the internet allows it to be up there. And that's been the most interesting.
Yeah.
Because if I come to DC now, I'm not just coming to see my man Mike, right? Now I'm checking in with Santi over there, right?
And if I want to pop an event,
we want to pop an event over there, or maybe I come on, you know, be on your show over there. So that's the other part of it, right? Connection.
Yeah.
Right? Collaboration. Community.
But that's all about business, and that's all about networking. You know, networking, you have to network, network. That's such a real thing. And if you're going to call yourself an entrepreneur and you're not out there talking about what you're doing, no one's ever going to know. And then you got to show 100%. Them what you're doing. And then you got to show that you're doing it well. You know, and I'm the guy that I like to win. I like to get the trophy if I can. You know what I mean? I go hard. You,
dog. He said, I like to win. Let's go. Hey, man. So I'm going to put you on the spot.
No.
I'm going to put you on the spot. You didn't hire me as your coach, but I'm going to ask you, when is that comedy show going to pop?
Oh, man.
See, I'm not your coach. You could say you're not my coach. So I'm not going to get that to you, but I'm hearing it in you. I hear the passion.
You know, because I said it. So I put it out there, and I believe now it's out there. And, you know, when you put it out there and you put it in video, it has to happen. It's going to happen. And I got a great team to help me write if I need a team to help me write. So it's going to happen soon. It's going to be very surprising. It's going to be dope. You know, I just know I'm going to be dope. I'm going to do my best to be dope at it if I can. I fail, hey, look, you know what? That's just what it's going to be. It's what it's going to be.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. What's up and coming for the show? What's up and coming for you as an entrepreneur?
You know, right now, studio space, really thinking about, you know, moving into a studio space. That's number one priority right now for us, because we want to expand that business and get out of the basement. You know, we like being in the basement. We did really well. And now it's time to take it to the next level. And hopefully we find a good space and generating more income for the business, because the goal was to also feed families. So that's the reason why we're going to make that push. we're going to make that push.
Nice.
Because it's
nice.
It's a business. And also, I don't know if I told you, the goal is to also marketing space, studio space, record other things. We, my partner and I, we can pretty much put some things together, and we would love a place for people to come in, and you want to shoot an ad, you want to do something, record something, you can do it in our space.
Understand. Yeah. So put an event space together that's for not just for you, but it's available for the world of content creation right now. Because truth be told, some people won't be able to pick up a mic or turn on their own camera and freestyle extemporaneously, because I bet you don't work from a script. I can just tell. I can kind of tell that about you. In fact, if you probably had a script, you'd probably feel like you're in a box.
Yeah,
But there are some people who could use the help of a producer or someone there guiding them. So I think that's fantastic. Where's the best place for people to find the show and connect with you?
Check us out at AGNB Podcast, PODCAST, at AGNB Podcast on Instagram, All Gas No Break Podcast on Apple, iTunes. We could be streamed anywhere. If you look for us on YouTube, you two and I, we kind of got a little beef going on, but at AGNB Podcast, you put at symbol AGNB Podcast on YouTube, you'll find us. But you're not going to find too much stuff, because all my stuff is on iTunes, on Pandora, on Spotify. You can see audio and video versions of what we do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And connect with you personally. You got Instagram handle, anything out there like that, or just everything through the website?
Everything through at AGNB Podcast, because that's okay. What I'm pushing. I'm pushing that business. I want, like I said, I want to feed these families that are riding with me. I owe it to them. And yeah, check us out there, even on Facebook. We're right now, Facebook is really taking a liking to us right now. So
popping.
Check us out on Facebook, All Gas, No Break Podcast. Yeah, I just had a post. It's like about to hit the millions in a few seconds. So it's going crazy. Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, I had a post that went 1.2 mil and that I was in that went a little viral. So yeah, check us out, man. Tune in to us. And then also, if you want to be interviewed, contact us at agnbpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to interview, you want to find out how that goes down. And we do virtual and in studio interviews.
I love it. Santiago, man. Santi Maxwell. What's happening, man? I appreciate you, man. We bumped into each other at a place that if it hadn't... By the way, I need to tell you the story.
Yeah.
I had no intention on going to that conference.
Oh.
My producer told me about the conference last night. I had no intention on going. I had no intention. That's how serendipitous things are.
Wow.
I knew it was in my backyard. When she told me about it, I was like, I got something else going on.
Right.
But I hadn't... I'm thinking, well, geez, you're a podcaster. You ain't been to NAMM podcasting event since you started. You should probably go connect with some professionals.
That makes sense.
And then we run into each other. And that's what I really appreciate about, you know, conferences and events. And of course, whatever decision that led you to fly across the country and be there. So I just appreciate our ability to connect, man. And hopefully we'll stay connected in the future, man. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Fantastic. Man, I love it. We're in touch now. If you're ever in D.C. and I see you on Instagram anywhere that you're in D.C. and you didn't contact me, I'm going to be very upset.
It's going to be a problem. Yeah, it's going to be a problem. I tell people the same thing about Vegas. If you're ever in Vegas and we're connected and I find out you're in Vegas and you ain't hollering at me, it's going to be a problem.
It's going to be
a misunderstanding. It's going to be a misunderstanding.
Yes.
Anyway, Santi, man, appreciate you being on the show. For listeners who have checked in and tuned in with us today, let me tell you something. You're going to laugh if you're around this guy's show. You're going to laugh if you're around his socials. This character here, man, he has one of those energies that is just, it's just fun to be around. And I'm glad he took some time to be out and share with you some of his time today. So be sure to check out All Gas, No Breaks. We've got the links in the description below. Find it over on the show notes. Be sure to follow the show. Check in. If you're in the DC area and you're listening to me and you ain't listening to him, get off my show and go check him out. All right.
That's
so
right.
Listen, if you've just gotten to the Mindshift Podcast, I'm your host, Darrell Evans. I'd invite you to hit the follow button wherever you are so you can never miss an episode of the show. If you're an entrepreneur and you're looking to market, grow, and scale your business, and you need support in this crazy time we're in as an entrepreneur. As Santi said earlier, entrepreneurship is tricky, it's tough, it has ups and it has downs. You need community. And I'd invite you to come over to growthdrivenentrepreneur.com, which is our community where we support entrepreneurs each and every month to help the market grow and scale their business. So until next time, we'll see you again soon. Santi, my guy, good seeing you.
Peace, brother. Have a good one.
Hey, my friend, thanks again for listening to today's episode of the Mindshift Podcast. Listen, let's not have the conversation end here. Connect with me on social.
at Mr. Daryl Evans on almost all the platforms, with the exception of Facebook. My Facebook fan page is at Daryl Evans Fan. Until next week, remember, you're just one shift away from the breakthrough you're looking for.